pushed back against authority, resented authority, sought to undermine authority. It's in our nature. An example from my own life. Bishop, I'm telling a story about you. Didn't know you were going to be here. He'll remember this. In 2009, I was invited to participate in a memorial service to be held at St. John's Episcopal Cathedral. I was honored to have walked alongside that family for the previous year. And as we prepared for that service, I was informed I'd be one of the readers and I'd be up front. And when I met with Neil, who was the rector at that time, I was his assistant. Neil said, "Well, one thing I ask, you do not receive communion during the service. Too much has happened. Too much is fresh. The cathedral represents the bishop, and you need to do this." And I viewed myself as someone who didn't have the baggage between the two. I saw myself as a peacemaker. I was sure I was right and that Neil was wrong and that I should do it my way. After a few discussions on that topic, he was firm, and I knew that I had to obey him. Really, I didn't understand the process that Redeemer had gone through, and it was still so fresh. When so many of you took a stand for the gospel, the true gospel of Jesus Christ, I didn't understand the attacks and the suffering that Redeemer endured. How could I? I wasn't here. I now know that Neil was right in his instruction, but at that time, I was not happy. Well, I obeyed him, and I'm fairly certain that a couple people who attended our church at that time didn't come back. I know that because after the service, they put their fingers in my face and said, "I saw what you did up there." That, I was okay with that. I'm under authority. But what broke my heart was a friend of the family's, one that I had met, I'd become friends with, said with tears in his eyes, he pointed at me, he said, I could feel it like it was yesterday. I'm so disappointed in you. And I said, "I'm under authority." And he said, "I'm so disappointed in you. I know that it was the right thing to do. I knew that I had to obey the authority, and it was not easy." To this day, that man, his name was Ben, he speaks into my heart as I live in ministry that sometimes authority, you're not going to make everybody happy. And I'm thankful for his speaking into my life. You know, this is the same with any authority. It's not easy to obey any authority. They have the position and right as the authority to ask us to do things we may not like, we may not agree with. We have two options when an authority gives directions. Only two. Number one, obey. Or number two, well, actually, there are three options. One is obey. Two is disobey. Or the third is to step out from under their authority. If it's a boss, you quit. I'm not going to do that. Authority is very difficult for every one of you and for me. And that authority is the subject before us in our gospel reading from Luke. I invite you to turn to page 879 of your pew Bibles. Luke chapter 20, beginning with verse 1. Now at the end of Luke 19... we're told Jesus arrives in Jerusalem. He enters the temple and then he takes initiative to clear the temple of the money changers, to clear the temple of all those engaging in the selling of animals for sacrifice, in commerce in the temple. All four Gospels record this event. Jesus driving people out of the temple, overturning tables, pouring the coins out on the pavement. And John noted that he made a whip with cords, and he used that to drive them out. This wasn't a, "Please disperse." He drove them out. So shortly after that, possibly the next day, Jesus returns to the temple. And in the midst of his teaching the people, the religious leaders surround him and demand an answer. Jesus is asked, "Tell us, by what authority do you do these things? What gives you this authority?" There in verse 2. Who gives you this authority? The religious leaders imply this is God's temple and we are in charge. Who gives you the right to do this? Who gives you the right to drive anything out of the temple or anyone? Who gives you the right to heal and teach in the temple? Where do you get the authority? Who's given it to you? Truly, they're asking, who do you think has authority in the temple, Jesus? We do. But the bigger question, the true question here is, who is Lord of the temple? That answer, I believe, is obvious. God Almighty, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, He is the authority. Because of God's love for you, Jesus has died, He has risen from the dead, and this is the gospel. God has the authority, and He's exercised authority to bring forgiveness and new life through God the Son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus prays every day for you and for me. And since His resurrection and ascension, where is the temple now? Scripture tells us it's in our hearts. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16, do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? By faith in Jesus Christ, the temple is now relocated. Just as the Lord, God Almighty, is Lord of the temple, the Lord Jesus Christ holds and wields His authority as God the Son in the temple. And so He wields the authority in every heart where He resides. If you've responded to Jesus in faith, and I know many of you have, if you've asked God to forgive your sins and asked Jesus to enter your heart, if that's true, then the throne in your heart belongs to Him. You gave it to Him. And so the question before you today is, are you a follower or are you just an acknowledger? If Jesus is Lord, if He's risen from the dead, then that changes everything. He was who He said He was, God the Son, the Messiah, the Savior. And if that's true, then He has what He says He had. Matthew 28:18, after His resurrection, Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Recall Jesus' interaction 3 days before with Pilate, just before his execution. Jesus had been flogged, and now he stands before Pilate. And Pilate, in desperation, asks Jesus this question. Do you not know that I have authority to release you and authority to crucify you? It's the same word for authority. And Jesus answered, you would have no authority over me at all unless it had been given to you from above. Jesus makes it clear, all authority belongs to the Lord first. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, He is the authority. So if Jesus is Lord in your heart, He is the authority. Period. As Lord, His way should go. He therefore should be consulted in everything, sought in everything, listened for in every circumstance, and obeyed in everything. If you're like me, it was at this point as I prepared the message that I began to feel accused and feel condemned as I realized the pride and control that I have in my own life. I had to ask myself, is that really true in my heart? Is He truly Lord of everything, or do I keep taking control? I encourage you to grapple with that same question this morning. I-centered faith is the result of the pride in every human heart. This is about me. We want the last word. We want the final say in what we will obey, what we will submit to, what we will keep control of. Oh, hold on a second. You don't get to do that. I'm in charge. Jesus, I'll give you this, and I'll give you this, and I'll give you this, but that, I'm holding on to that one. The acknowledger retains authority in some or in all. The acknowledger declares who Jesus is, even knows what Jesus has done. But ultimately, they sit on their own throne. Who is on the throne in your life? Who is the ultimate authority? An acknowledger retains it. The follower, the disciple, not only declares who Jesus is, but submits the throne to Jesus, follows him wherever he leads. He seeks, or she seeks, to hear and obey all that Jesus leads them to do. The follower is willing to obey even when they don't agree, even when it means sacrifice or risk. The follower may say, God, this is not a good idea, but I will obey, even when it may make them look bad or look stupid. The follower obeys their loving, commanding officer. He is the ultimate loving, commanding officer, the authority who loves without measure. If Jesus is Lord, then you have acknowledged that he is your authority, and you have thereby relinquished to him authority in everything. He, therefore, as Lord, has authority to lead you, to ask you, to hold back from you, to propel you forward, to heal, to initiate action, to do everything and to speak into everything. I believe if the church today really submitted to Jesus' authority, I'm confident the church would look different than it looks now. If the majority of followers of Jesus lived like that, he would have authority in priorities, authority in media, what we put into our minds, what we put before our faces, in movies, in music, in art, in whatever streams through the internet, everything we look at. He would have authority in eating and nutrition, authority in direction, in work, you name it. Authority to interrupt, authority to unexpectedly change direction. He is Lord. He's not just Lord of the convenient, Lord of all that I don't really want to bother with. He's Lord. If he's Lord in your life, he's Lord of everything. Authority in financial priorities. What to give, where to give, how to spend. In everything. If Jesus is Lord and you've invited him to be seated on that throne, then he is authority, period. You have relinquished the title. He is owner. And as he loves you, he will lead you for the best for you. And he will lead you in his kingdom work. He will call you out in mission with him. If this is true today, the church in the world would be radically different, I believe. It would be like the first century church in the book of Acts, where they lived in community. They regularly broke bread together in their homes. They shared with anyone who had need. They loved and cared for each other. And together they reached out into their communities, proclaiming in word and deed the good news of Jesus' love, of the new life that they had in Jesus' name. As members of the church choose to live like that, hearts will continue to be transformed. It's an ongoing process. Hearts are transformed as Jesus claims his throne, and they continue to be transformed as he resides there. Their lives are transformed as they learn to hear his voice, live by initiative, live by his guidance, live by his priorities in all things. Families and workplaces and communities will be transformed as they reflect God, his love and character in every situation. Truly submitting to Jesus' authority will begin with the change in priorities to create time and space for the Lord to speak. It will initiate time to meditate, to soak on God's word, not just snack on it. It will make space for God as one chooses to tune in and listen for his voice. In my own life, as I've walked with the Lord, I've learned that I hear him best when I'm otherwise occupied running. It's hard for me to quiet my head. Lord, that's a good idea. Squirrel, squirrel, squirrel. What was that, Lord? Part of my walk with the Lord has been in the midst of my quiet time, my reflecting on God's word and prayer, I regularly seek to then go for a long run where I see the squirrels for about the first mile or two, but then my mind begins to quiet and I begin to be able to hear his voice. I've had the greatest closeness and intimacy with God there. And I continue to. And I pray God will protect my knees. As you submit to Jesus' authority, he will lead you. And you will learn how you hear his voice best. It takes time. It takes deciding to leave him on the throne. Remember, his authority is absolute. He didn't say some authority or I'll just help you out here. He said all authority in heaven and on earth have been given to me. He is either on the throne or not. He is either on the throne or you are. So, which is it? Do you allow him to stay there? Or is there a constant game of musical chairs as you hop back into the seat and then, oh, I'll give it back, and then you hop back in? My heart's desire for Redeemer is that we will not be satisfied with status quo faith. Many of you are living that kind of faith right now, and it glorifies the Lord, and I praise God for that, for your deciding daily to follow him, to let him be Lord, and to listen and to obey. My heart's desire that we will not be satisfied with complacent status quo, same old faith. We won't be satisfied with stagnant, no new growth, never changing, never transforming life. That we will be transformed as we follow him, as we let him wield his authority. Jesus' authority will instigate and initiate change, growth, healing, repentance, and transformation. And that authority is sourced in a love that's beyond anything we can imagine. A love that will not let you stay the way you are. A love that will move in and day by day transform you. That's my heart for Redeemer, and the Lord didn't allow me to set this down, so we turn our attention to current events. If you're a member here, then as the rector, I have spiritual authority. And I receive that humbly because it's given by God, it's given by the vestry, it's given by the bishop. But I have authority, a little bit. As your spiritual authority, I want to speak to you about Tuesday, about the election. Now, government says if I speak in certain ways about politics, the church will lose its tax-exempt status. So I want to be clear. I'm not crossing any lines here. But as spiritual authority, I want to speak to you about this election. I've heard so many conversations in the church. This is what they believe. No, that's what they believe. Or this is what they did. No, that's what they did. Or this is what they said. No, that's what they said. This is what they meant. No, that's what they meant. No, that's what they meant to mean. I've even heard some say, I want to be careful that my vote is not wasted. It's clear to me today in light of this message on authority, how I am to instruct you today. The Lord has asked me to tell you this. Tuesday, you must vote for the candidate that the Lord leads you to vote for. If Jesus is on the throne, then he is consulted on everything. As it is with your finances, have you asked the Lord how to give, where to give? If not, daily seek him. And in this situation, I am not advocating for any candidate, but I challenge you as followers of Jesus, say your prayers. God reminds us, he commands us to fast and pray. He says, when you fast, Lent is a season of fasting. Is our country, this election, worth fasting and praying? It really doesn't matter what they've said or not said, done or not done. What matters is that if you live your life with Jesus on the throne, you will seek him for his guidance, and you'll obey what he calls you to do, even if you don't necessarily agree with it. I believe he will speak to you in your heart of hearts. That's our challenge as we live with Jesus on the throne. I want to challenge you all to tomorrow, Monday, take time to fast and pray. Might be from one meal, might be from something little, might be from something significant, but fast and pray and ask God to speak into your life and ask God to speak to you about this election. I know that he will. What matters is who the Lord leads you to vote for, that you hear it, and whether you like it or not, you obey his authority. That's our duty as followers of Jesus. We are to participate, and we are to acknowledge that he is Lord. His authority, if you invite him to be Lord of your life, if you humbly offer all things to him, his authority is supreme, and he will lead, guide, and direct you to new life that you can't get when you're on the throne, because you won't even know what to grasp for or seek. That new life is found in his name, with him there, and that is the mark of a disciple. That is the mark of a follower, and that is my vision and heart for this part of the body of Christ at Redeemer, that you who follow Jesus in all that you do and say would be known to be under the authority of the King of Kings, that they would recognize that you are following the Lord Jesus Christ in everything. Amen. Standing under Jesus' authority makes me tremble. We need to hear his voice, and then when we speak it with confidence. That begins with the foundation of our faith, what we believe. As the body of Jesus Christ, in the Anglican tradition, we now have the opportunity to affirm our faith using the historic words of the Nicene Creed. Please stand. Let's remember our faith, and let's declare our faith.